You taught history in high school for 34 years. Do you think that teaching history is important? And can you report any kind of success or changes that you brought about in your students or the world through your teaching?
There are a number of things that come to mind over the years. I saw mainly sophomores for much of my career. And I always found sophomores to be very interesting because generally being 16 years of age, they are into that interesting area where they are adults in the eyes of the law and driving, and they're also considered children in some ways. And they are starting to learn that the world is not everything that they thought it was in the first 12 years of their recollections. So you see the lights come on quite frequently when you expose them to some of the amazing challenges and differences in our world. And that's what I tried to do, and then ask them to think about it. So I have one memory especially from the last decade, and that was pointing out that our top tax bracket for the very wealthy post-World War II and into the 1950s was 90%. After your first $100,000, you were taxed at a 90% rate. And I had a boy come back to class a day or so after we'd gone over that, and he raised his hand and he said, "Mr. Buckles, I told my dad what you said about the tax rate, and he didn't believe you." And I stood there and shrugged my shoulders, paused for a little bit, and the boy said, "But then I went to the internet, and after about the third website, he started to believe me." That's why we do it. Light some fires. You don't fill vessels, in that old adage about teaching. You light fires. And it's one of the reasons I'm so frustrated with this emphasis on testing, because testing attempts to fill vessels, but in reality, it puts out a lot of fires, especially in areas of social studies. There's room for it. There's always been room for it. But this overemphasis on testing is very bothersome to me.
What about for you personally, Myron? Are there folks that you encountered in your study and work as a history teacher who transformed your worldview?
Well, I continually come across people and events that I was not aware of. I'm not surprised. I used to joke with my students that I knew everything. It was just an attempt for me to demonstrate some critical thinking, but because students come into the classroom and sometimes they do think your teachers know everything. And so I would say that. And then they would look at me funny and take them a few seconds and go, "Oh, probably not." And I said, "Yeah, you're right. I'm learning all the time." There are plenty of opportunities to pick up new information. And that is one of the beauties of teaching social studies. It is not to memorize the great men and then think that you know everything about history. It is to look at the issues and the controversies in history. That's what people find interesting. People talk about liking the History Channel. And they'll say, "Oh, I go home and I watch the History Channel all the time." Problem of being in a classroom is that your time is so limited that it is difficult to cover the topics in depth to find that interest level, because you do feel forced to cover a tremendous amount of material in a limited amount of time. So the challenge is to try to find some depth in some of the issues that you choose and hope that that lights the fires and so that they continue down a path of lifelong learning. I had a couple of instructors in my college career, and one of them was John T. Zelizak, and he was a geography instructor. I was in a class with him during the second Arab oil embargo, and he said in 1979 that it's not going to be about oil in the future, it's going to be about water. I hadn't thought of it that way before, and as my life has progressed and seeing that things take place across the world, realizing that he called it in 1979, and I always have an appreciation for people who predict the future and get it right. I had another instructor in my undergraduate who talked about buildings and how the structure of our suburbs and our houses, which he referred to as 20th century drab building, and how it kills neighborhoods, and the addition of the back deck it destroys the concept of community because people sit in their back deck and they don't meet their neighbors. And in the old style of housing before World War II, it was the front porch. And people sat out on the front porch in the sidewalks and the neighborhoods, and people visited, and they tended to know their neighbors a lot more. And I've had a recent addition in my house of a front porch, and I have found that to be true. And when I sit out in the front, people tend to want to visit and talk. And you have a feeling for your neighbors.